And thank God I ain't in Abbey City smoking crack. And for y'all that don't know where Abbey City is, Abbey City is a little project neighborhood in D.C. where all they did was get high every day, all day. You know, I don't know. I'm honored to do this, right? But here's what's going on, right? I can't tell y'all nothing but the truth and what's really going on in my life, right? The topic is never have to use ever again. I've been around this program since 1991. My clean date is November 5th, 2005. I've been in and out of this program for 20 years. I lost a leg behind crack. I wasn't born this way. I ain't coming this way. I came here with two legs, and I kept using. And because I kept using, I lost a leg. So every day, I wake up, I see my disease and the results of it. For the rest of my life, I know that I'll never have to use again. The literature tells us that staying clean must come first, no matter what. And I'm having a rough day today. It started out rough. But what I understand is I got a God bigger than any problem I got. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I've been using all my life. I grew up using. You know? I thought everybody used, even the president. You know what I'm saying? So when I came in here at 21, and y'all talking about not using, not selling dope, not breaking the law, doing all this legal stuff, that was like foreign language to me. You know what I'm saying? I come from guys that, man, that sold dope all their life. My father died from cirrhosis of the liver and shooting dope. You know, I knew what a height was before I knew what my multiplication was. You know what I'm saying? I knew what cocaine was before I knew how to add. So, you know, I come in here and I'm 21 years old when I get here. And everything in here looked like they're older than me. So, you know, wasn't a whole lot of youngins around when I came in here. So I kept going in and out, in and out, in and out. But on November the 5th, I was in Abbey City. And I was sitting on the steps. And I had my prosthetic leg on. And it was broke. From walking up and down the streets all night long, copping. And I sat on them steps. And everybody was getting high. And I was the only one not feeling it. And I called somebody, and I told them I was ready. And when I went in detox, all I wanted to do was sleep, because I'd been up for 6 months. And they told me in 3 days we was going to put you out. And I realized right then and there, if they put me out of detox this time, I'm probably going to die as a result of using. And even though in my mind and my spirit wanted to die physically, I knew it was a better way if I just surrendered to the program. So I came in here and I got a sponsor. And I immediately got into the steps. And I immediately started to free myself from all that baggage I've been carrying for all those years. And as a result of that, I ain't never, ever, ever, ever going to use again. And I can say that. They say, don't say never. Well, I don't believe in myths. I'm never using again. And what this program says, that no addict seeking recovery need ever die. You know, and we can find a new way to live. I just don't want to smoke crack no more. I ain't into all the shame. You know, this is an honor. But if I don't never share again, if I don't never share again at a convention, a workshop, as long as I'm not smoking crack, it doesn't really matter. You know what I'm saying? You know. Because all I really want to do is not die with a stem in my pocket and a bag of demos. You know what I'm saying? Or one of them youngins splitting my head because I ran off with their package. So, you know, I get in here. I'm going to talk about my now story now, right? Because using ain't always about using. Drugs anyway. I picked up some other habits that ain't conducive to recovery all the time. Some days I feel like a nut and some days I don't. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I don't know. I got married in this program. And she's in recovery. And the thing about it, now here's where the tricky part comes at. I don't like women in recovery. Now, how you figure that? Right? And what I mean is, I ain't never been attracted to the woman that's always sharing, meeting, and greeting. You know what I'm saying? And that's my shit, and I know it. But I'm talking about me. So as a result, we've been separated going on 5 years. You know? And it's been some harm calls on both sides. But I'm talking about me now. You know what I'm saying? So the bottom line is, when I get back to Washington, I got a decision to make. Because I'm tired of hurting, and I'm tired of hurting her. You know? And the only way I can be free is we go in and do what we have to do. You know what I'm saying? So that's what's going on right now. But other than that, I'm happy regardless because I ain't smoking crack. You know, and like I said before, every time I pick up these crutches, I know what using will get you. You know, I don't ever have to ask somebody, well, what's your story like? Because I know mine. I'll use with one leg. It's been proven to me. You know what I'm saying? I'll walk on the crutches till the bottom of this rubber is on the steel, and I'll slide up and down the street, copping, thinking everything's all right. You know, this outfit, I look good as a motherfucker right now. I know I do. I don't need no one to tell me. You understand? But guess what? Let me take one hit. One hit. And I'll look like a mess in 2 days. All this will be filthy. I'll have dookie on myself. I will sell every piece of this jewelry for less than what it's worth. The right offer, you got it. Especially if I'm cop out. You know, I heard a buddy of mine say this last Thursday in a meeting. He said, man, ain't no feeling like the feeling of when it's all gone. So everything I've experienced in here doesn't matter to what I experienced, that feeling of all gone. I don't know if none of y'all can relate to the all gone feeling. That feeling when you sitting around and you know ain't nobody else in here got no money, and y'all keep looking at the door, hoping somebody knock on the door, and y'all trying to split a dime between 10 people. That's my story. You know, living in a crack house that I knew chinches were eating me alive. I could count the chinches on a wall. Going to the hospital. Getting out the hospital. And going right back in there. And had a beautiful home to go to. With clean sheets. Food in the refrigerator. A real TV to watch. All the lights were on. We weren't running electricity from our neighbors to the next neighbors. But I would rather be in a crack house where chinches are eating me alive than to go home. Y'all say we don't never have to use again. Never have to use again. You know, I don't know. I just know this. That when I think about my story, and I look at where I'm at now inside, because this shit don't matter for real, because I had this shit ever since I've been clean from 1991. I've sold this kind of shit before for a bag of dime. So this shit I got on monetary shit does not make me. It don't make nobody for real. It's nice to have. I ain't gonna give it away. But it's nice to have. You know, but I remember it was pouring down raining. This is a true story. It was pouring down raining. That kind of rain that you can't see outside. I had an electronic leg on. And a lady told me it was time to go. She said she was going to go to bed. Of course, she wasn't going to bed. She was going to smoke all that shit she had stole from me earlier, right? So, because I built a reputation that I was like that in the streets, I said, all right, I'm gone. You got an umbrella? And she said, yeah, it's an umbrella over in that corner. And it was a little kid, Daffy Duck, yellow umbrella. About this big. Now y'all can see I'm 6 feet. I weighed 280 pounds. I took that umbrella. It's pouring out raining outside. It's raining so hard that you can't even see stuff. And I got that umbrella like this. And I'm standing right there. Y'all laughing, but this is my story. And every time I move it right here, my whole face gets soaking wet. Right? I move it right here, and my whole back gets soaking wet. Now here come the hit. Here come my truck up the street with a juvenile that don't have a license. That I rented it out to for some crap. And he ain't even blow the horn. He kept going. And I stood right there. And the feeling I got from that told me I don't really ever want to use again. Right then I ain't want to use. But I didn't stop. I was still caught up in the grip. I still hadn't learned my lesson. Out of all the years I've been in here, I played with this thing. I thought because I was 21, 22, 23, that I would eventually work the steps when I get 40. Because that's the kind of information that was being passed around. Take your time. Ride the pink cloud. Don't worry about doing no step work. Ride the bubble till it bursts. You know? But y'all, just like on them credit card applications, when they send you, they got the big print. You've been approved for this and that and that. But if you don't turn it over, they're going to bust your head as soon as you miss one payment. That's just like some of the information that we pass around in here. Ride the pink cloud. Do a step a year. Take it your time. You don't have to rush into the steps. Ask them people what's going to happen when the storm comes. What do I do when my mother dies? What do I do when I find out I got a disease in here that I can't get a cure for? If you don't mess with the steps from the beginning, you'll wind up like me. Keep coming back with one leg. I came in here with two legs, 100 pounds lighter. I lost my leg because I kept riding the pink cloud that I didn't want to buy into the program. All this fellowship stuff is nice. It helps. But if you don't buy into these 12 steps, you're going to eventually be a bum or hurting on the inside because we got a lot of smiling faces. You know, I'm talking about my area. We share like Shakespeare. You know what I'm saying? But how you really living? How you really living? If y'all could see me, I remember being a spiritual advisor. I was a sponsor. People was calling me for information. What you think, Vincent? And I would tell them, blah, 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 blah. I was working at PIW Psychiatric Institute Hospital. I'm an addiction counselor. I'm telling y'all, just stay clean. But when I leave there, I'm going on Sam Street. That's a dope strip. The fifth step talks about addicts tend to live secret lives. On the outside, you look secure and confident. But on the inside, you're really shaky and insecure. That's my story. That's my story. In Narcotics Anonymous. That's who I was. You know, I could tell you what you should do for your life. But the whole time, my life was crumbling. And I built this reputation up that I would wait till the last person shared. I would raise my hand like I'm in a bidding contest. Right? And they would say, come on, Vincent, help us. I couldn't help my motherfucking self. I'm the sickest person in the room. I'm the sickest person in the room, and I forgot. You know what I'm saying? I work at PIW. I'm the addiction counselor. I'm the head addiction counselor. You know what I'm saying? But when I leave there, who I am is not who I appear to be. For real. You know, and it wasn't until I was able to tell y'all that I got some help for me. That I was able to be who I am today and know that no matter what I do in the course of a day, as long as I don't use, As long as I don't use, I got a shot at the title. You know what I'm saying? I remember when they rushed me in the hospital and the doctor said, man, you got infection, because I wanted them to save my leg. You know, because I'm on image. How am I going to live without a leg? That was the question. And I said, man, just scrape it as much as you can. Don't take my leg. And he said, man, either you lose your leg or you'll die from infection. And if we save your leg, you're going to keep getting an infection. Well, that wasn't an algebra problem. One leg above ground, two legs underground. One leg above ground, I'll take the one leg on ground. You know what I'm saying? What you got here is the hit, though. I'm in PG Hospital, just had my leg amputated. I got two bags of crack in my slop. You know, one of my so-called buddies that brought me two bags of crack, and I was mad. Here's why I was mad, because he forgot the stem. He forgot the stem. So now I'm in PG Hospital with one leg, tubes all over me, trying to hit off a can on one leg. Now, I just lost my legs. I really don't know how to work with one leg yet. The crack stayed in my sock for about 4 months. I wouldn't let a nurse touch that foot. You know what I'm saying? Every time they came in the room, they would say, Mr. Booker, you want us to wash your foot? Leave my foot alone. Leave it alone. My child's mother worked at the Italian hospital. And they said, why he won't wash his foot? And she came downstairs and she said, Vincent, why you won't wash your foot? What's going on with that foot, Vincent? She thought I was having some mental issues because I just lost my leg. And I told my son, mother, you need to leave my foot alone too. Right? And eventually the Spirit of God kicked in. And I told her the truth. I said, I got two bags of crack in my sock. And I want to get high. And she took them out. And she flushed them down the toilet. Against my consent. Let me say that. Because I was in the midst of the grips. Right? And I thought that was going to be the last time I used. I've had a lot of last time using. You know what I'm saying? This was going to be the last time. When I left there, and I stayed clean for about a week. And I started using again. And I went blind. You know. 2 weeks after that, I went blind. And they had declared me legally blind. So now I got one leg and I'm legally blind. What else use is me to live for? I need to smoke some crack now, don't you think? That's how I feel. But a good friend of mine named Linda walked in my bedroom, and at that present moment, I had a gun in my hand, and I really wanted to blow my brains out. And she rushed me back to the hospital. And when she rushed me back to the hospital, they told me, you're going to be blind for the rest of your life. And I kept holding on. I had a little glimpse of this program, and I kept saying, God, I know you ain't brought me this far. I know you ain't got me through all of what you got me through to let me go now. In about 3 more months, I went and seen a specialist. And as y'all can see, I can see y'all, so y'all know what happened. And that's the kind of God I've always had in my life. But that ain't the end. I used again. That ain't the end. My clean date, November 5th, 2005. I lost my leg April 4th, 2003. So I used again. Because I still was trying to hold on to something that wasn't real. I was still trying to be something that I wasn't. I was the last person to find out that my dope dealing days were over. Everybody else knew except me. And then somebody told me one day, monkeys can't eat bananas, Vincent. And that finally clicked. You're a motherfucking monkey. Why you keep thinking you can sell dope in your attic? Why you keep thinking that you can go on strips and you're an addict? What is it about you that you can't do something better for yourself? And again, we go back to November the 5th. I was sitting on them steps. I'm going to say this and I'm going to sit down after this, right? A girlfriend of mine named Carolyn, may she rest in peace. We was in that same crack house I was telling y'all about. She came home November the 3rd. November the 4th, she was dead. And she died in everything from the jail. She never made it home to clean, change her clothes. And I was outside arguing with my wife on the phone because all she wanted me to do was come home and clean up and wash my ass. But I couldn't get away from the table. Carolyn died where I laid my head at, on this little love seat, because that was the only cleanest part of the house, this little love seat that I slept on. That's the cleanest part of this whole house, right? And because I'm a bully, when I smoke crack, I bullied that piece. You know, I said, it's bad enough I'm chinches eating me alive. Come on now. I need something to make me feel a little like I'm different from the rest of y'all. And it was that love seat. And when I went in there and Carolyn's eyes was in the back of her head, and she had died by herself, all alone, in a crack house that was usually filled to its capacity, right? And a guy came to me, and he said, man, why you call the police? You know, Carolyn had a nice ass on her. And the guy said, why you call the police? You know she got all that money in her ass. And I looked at him, and I said, you want me to dig in her ass? She's dead. Right then I realized if they'd do that to Carolyn, they liked the Carolyn, they couldn't stand me. I ain't have a chance in the world. They put my one-legged ass out and dump me in a dumpster. I made the call the next day. I'm ready. And from that day to this day, by the grace of God and this program, I haven't found it necessary to use. And I don't ever want to use again. Thank you for letting me share my name, Vincent.
For our next speaker is Thomas P. from Baltimore.
I'm an addict named Thomas. And I want to take a moment first to thank the God of my understanding for allowing me to be here. And as in pieces as I am, I'm here because I love Eric and Sherman. And if you know Eric and Sherman, that's why I'm here. I really would like to be somewhere where I don't have to deal with what's going on the inside. But I think that what's happening in Narcotics Anonymous, and maybe this is the perfect opportunity for a convention speaker, I've been called to come and share a story. I want to just talk just for a minute. I ain't going to hold you long, but I just want to talk just for a minute. I'm going to talk my way into where I want to go. And I'm not sure where God is going to lead me. I just hope that He is instilling me what He's always given me, the spirit of forgiveness. And my brother who... But Marvin, who very seldom traveled with me, I got him to come with me this time. I would like to think that I manipulated him to come with me and hang with me this weekend, but I knew he didn't have nothing to do with that. He knew I was in trouble. And Marvin has been there for me, and most people know me all the way from the beginning. Whenever I was in trouble, you'll see Marvin by my side. And I would joke with people that Marvin practiced two principles, kill or be killed. Not that he's like that, but he presents to me security and safety. Not from you. If you couldn't kill me in my addiction, I know damn well you can't kill me in my recovery. He protects me from what I'm thinking about me. So I'm secure. So this morning, Marvin and I got up and we went swimming and we got into the sauna. And the sauna was, we had to get somebody to come in and tell us how to work the thing. We didn't have, you know, we used to hot tubs that we get in and soak. The sauna was something brand new, so we needed somebody to teach us how to use the sauna. So he came in and turned it up and he said, you just sit here for a minute, you're going to feel it in a minute. So me and Marvin just started sharing. And it's strange how the very materialistic things that I value at times, the chain around my neck started to get hot around my neck. And the materialistic thing that looked so beautiful to me, that I value so much, began to burn me. I'm trying to bring a point today. The chain started burning around my neck. And once again, God has started to strip me of all the materialistic things that I put in front of Him. So in order to cool off around my neck and stop the burning, I had to take the chain off my neck. And no longer that the chain had value in my life, it began to be a threat to me. I ain't going to be too long. I ain't going to be too long. My topic is never have to use again. And when I think about the goodness that God has done for me, every time I try to get outside of myself, I did not want to accept the position He had me in. No, this is not a first step for me. I've started my process on a second admission must be made. I wanted no more than half the truth. I wanted to start changing my old ways. So I took the chain off and I was getting dressed and thinking, people, God gave me a compliment about my clothes, and I was thinking about what He said. This strange thing about clothes. If you ever know, if you just ride with me, I'm trying to bring this to a place. I'm not glorifying materialistic things. I'm not beating people up who do. I'm just telling you about a good suit. Sometimes you got good clothes, and the difference between good clothes and inexpensive clothes, they both look the same, but they feel so different apart. It feels different. When you got very expensive clothes on, the only person that feels the result of the being expensive is the person that's wearing the clothes. And if you tell somebody about how expensive your clothes is, you has lost the whole gratitude hit of the blessing that you was allowed to buy the clothes. That's the difference between a cheap suit and an expensive. They both look the same from the eye. But to the touch and to the feel of the possessor of the materialistic pieces, only He knows what is really worth it anything. Now what happens is the difference between how I look and how I feel is totally different right now. My clean time hasn't anything to do with how I feel, but it comforts me because I know when I look back over my shoulder and see where God has brought me through already, this is another one of those situations that I want to partner with Him. I'm going to allow Him to guide me, because so many times, even when I look back at small wooden vine, planting an asphalt with a little stick, didn't want to accept my life for what it was. And here recently, I started getting in touch with some four-step stuff that I never addressed. Strange thing about step work. Now I want to talk to my sharing friends that I have. Just want to talk for a little while. Maybe I just talk to my sponsee, Sherman. I always seem to mess y'all convention up talking about him. I mean, I just talk to him because he understands me and he listens to me. Sometimes you just got to stand inside of a mirror, get buck naked about you and look at yourself for what you really are. Don't worry about what people say and what people see you. Just get buck naked. What is it about yourself you don't like? Ain't got nothing to do with what they want to hear and what they want to see. Get buck naked. Look at yourself in the mirror. What is it about me I don't like? And that's what I'm willing to change. Help, Lord, help me, God, with the courage to change. This is no performance. I leave here and got to go home. Huge amount of responsibility. Somewhere in the fourth step, it talks about a ghost in the closet. I have to unstrip the ghost. Pull him out of the closet, because anything that I missed in the ghost, here resurface again. here recently. I've been overwhelmed with so much. Let me stop and take a step back, and then I'll come back. I just want to stop and feel this angel watching over me. I want to just dedicate my attempt to give message to my baby Kenya. She passed with me, and I'm not saying she lost, because I know exactly where she's at. I just want to just say that someplace in my heart, if I keep doing what the 12-step provide me to do, I'm going to be sitting on the porch with her talking about the good times again. And I believe that in my heart. So I just want to, let me go back to the untouched stuff that I had in my 4-step. And how important it is for me to just come. I don't know any other way but to strip. Because there should be, when you share from up here, when you leave here, there should be a change in your life. Too many people want to share and entertain and still be the same dude that came into the meeting. Sometimes sharing without any attempt to change make you the worst of human being. It's a bad thing to be a fool and can't use. Bad thing to be a drug addict and can't get no dope. Can you imagine the pain of the hypocrite running around here trying to stay spiritual? Ain't no freedom if you haven't touched and experienced a spiritual awakening. There's no relief when your turn come, when the storm come. Ain't no umbrella gonna shelter you from the rain. So I was had made this agreement with my mother, because somewhere in my heart, I don't ever want to be a place where I can't bring the people I love with me. And I said that I was going to go down to the place where she raised me at, in this house that I've worked so hard to keep her in, because I don't want her going to old folks' home, because I believe it'll kill her. So I'm trying to keep her in this house. So, and there's some things inside of me that I thought that had been addressed, but I found out in the middle of my task with my mother, it really wasn't addressed. So I go down to my mom's house in the attempt to fix her house up again. I do it on a regular, but this time I want to really fix it up. And because my mother has been so attached to her things that old people do, that she's so attached to her things, and she started cussing me and cussing me and cussing me. And every time she cussed me, it would cut me. And it would cut me, and I was wondering what is going on. And I had to leave because I didn't want to be angry with my mother. But all of a sudden, my 4-step jumped up again on a page that I never turned. Let me tell my story, then I'm going to get out of here. There's some of you good sharing people can tell your story and leave here sick. I'm looking for salvation from narcotics and all, but I've been real. So when I got back and I started thinking, I called my wife and said, something's terrible happening to me. She said, what's wrong with you? Back to being 7 years old, and I'm in the car, and I'm still feeling like my mother's trying to kill me. My mother used to physically abuse me and beat me so bad that sometimes my father had to take me to the hospital. So I used to be mad with my father, and I never knew why. I used to think it because I was drinking. Now I'm starting to realize I was mad with him because I was depending on him to protect me from her. And he wouldn't protect me from her. He wishes I should hear him, and may the prayers of peace be upon him. May God forgive him of any of his sins. And I actually could hear him sharing and begging him, leave him alone, Lorraine, because you're going to hurt him. You're going to hurt him this time. And I remember going through that stuff. I remember not going to school because I was so beat up that I couldn't go to school. And I was afraid of my mother. So I'm going to stop. So sometimes some of you smart niggas in here that are always trying to tell somebody how they should feel and what they should do. You should research your story before you fuck with somebody else. Let me stop because I'm starting to lose my spirituality. You can never judge a brother where he's going unless you know where he's been. So now I'm trying to get in touch with this stuff because I want to get better. Now all of a sudden I'm starting understanding why I'm so rude and so defensive against women now. Still thinking they're going to beat me and make me cry again. So I said, you got to stay firm. I stayed thus in there now. When you're working in the fellowship and done all the things that we've done, when you're a member of Narcotics Anonymous and say you are, and if it's in your soul, you can't be no punk doing this. So I'm going to get back in there. So I go back and check the project the next day with the guys. And I said, I better stop and get her some breakfast and a little juice and some coffee. And then whatever she say, just give her the juice and the coffee. And just because you're doing it, let me tell you something. It's real nice if I do make amends to you and you accept it, then I go somewhere and share about it. But I'm starting to get in touch with a good eighth and ninth step. When you make amends with somebody, ain't got nothing to do with their response. You're trying to save your soul. Mama would still cuss me, take the food and cuss me because the kitchen tore up. She would still cuss me. And my wife was saying, she's not mad at you. You're taking the things. But I'm starting to see the same eyes, look in her eyes when Mama used to cuss me before. And it's bothering me. And I said, and then I talked to another nigga. He said that that's your mother. You should give her. I don't give opportunity that I don't understand. You got to let me say something here. Let me stop here for a minute. Look, when I had Marvin. Marvin was lost coming to Ocean City. Got all the way to Ocean City and he called me. He said, I'm kind of lost right now. You got to tell me where you're at. I said, then before I can help you, you got to tell me exactly where you at. Yeah, wait a minute. I'm going to be here for a minute.
Yeah.
I think I done changed my mind. Fuck you. I'm going to be here for a while. I'm going to get in touch with what this thing. Let me finish riding this thing out. Lenny, you got me, Lenny? Let's go. Let's go. Where big hands? The hands say, hey, got me. You got me, hands? So I told Marvin, I'm going to get you where you found, but you got to first tell me exactly where you at. So when you're having problems in the rooms because you're refusing to tell people exactly where you at.
Okay.
Some of you brothers look like the dude that's still shooting dope and you've been here for years. Afraid to tell people where you at. As I said, I got to tell you where I met with Mama. Mama hurt me. And I finally got through that part with Mama. And she still hasn't spoke to me. And it's all right. Because we're going through our process. And I was talking to Veronica yesterday. Sometimes our process, God has to elevate us over our problem. In order to take the position he had for us. Too many of us don't want to struggle in this process. With no struggle, there's no God. Everybody wants the greater crown, but nobody wants to carry the cross, they say in this program. Let me stop. Let me go back to any language. I want nobody mad with me. And they say we want the fruit without the labor, they say in here. Don't tell me this. I've been doing this shit when you were smoking crack. I just want to remind you who you are and who I am. So anyway, all of a sudden, then the business thing climbs on me. Business thing climbs on me. So I want to stay firm with, trying to keep our business going. We have a little family business that we're doing together with my wife. I just seen her come in with my wife. And she with a friend, Karen. You better hold her hand, Karen. Hold her hand, Karen. Hold her hand, Karen. And God knows I've been in this process for 24 years. And I'm proud to tell you today and my friends today, I don't cheat on my wife. It took me a long time for me to get to this point to say this because I know not to play with God in this program. You can't say some things that ain't real. And I want to tell you, I don't cheat on my wife. That's all part of the miracle that happens in this program. Because it wasn't always like that. And I want to tell you, I love you very much. So anyway, can I get back to Mama? And it's funny, it's strange, but it's good when you can tell your story when people here that know your story. And I don't lie for my wife. From some of you, let me tell you something. I got to explain, break it down to you again. It's a bad thing for you to be up here sharing and your woman hear to you sharing something that ain't real. When your woman realize that you are a hypocrite, the love stopped right there. My wife rented a truck and left without my permission. So you don't ever want to lie in front of your woman. I just want to speak. We straight. We on the same level here. Amen. Your woman would rather hear you tell the truth than you be a hypocrite. Because then you always, like this program, can start all over again. Anytime you want to, you can stop and be honest and start all over again. But you first got to make an attempt. But let me go back to my story. So we finally getting that down. Then I'm already. Then I got to do my physical stuff because I don't. And every year I got to go to the doctors. And I don't go to the doctors because I love doctors. In your relationship, your woman make you go to the doctors. You know what I'm talking about? With a list of things that's wrong with you. So all of a sudden I got to go to the laundry list with my doctor. Too many of us spiritual people don't want to go to doctors. Too many of us spiritual people say we're so close to one another, but we don't do the things that be here with each other a little longer. So I go to the doctor, and the doctor told me some things I had to do. He told me, I ain't going to tell you everything. Mike told me it was for me, I wouldn't say anything. But I'm scheduled for the colonoscopy. I think it's the best procedure that you can ever get. My mom said, you can get a free one on the colonoscopy. So I'm all tensed about giving blood and all this stuff, and we got a call. And I'm sorry, my friends are here that came and support me. And God bless you, Renard. God bless you. And I got a call, and he told me to pull over the phone on the side of the road. My wife called me, and she said, you know, you need to pull over on the side of the road for a minute. And I said, what's wrong with you? She said, just pull on the side of the road for a minute. And I pull on the side of the road, put the truck in park. She said, put the truck in park. She said, thank you, my baby. I want to... And I said, you know, I was just starting to talk to her on the phone. You know, when you're hurting, you need to talk to her or talk to her on the phone. And I said, you know, is she, you know, what else did they say? She just talked to me on the phone. And I hurt in a place inside that I haven't hurt before. And my mind was playing all these poor me games. On me, you know? And when you have, this is a message for the most crazy people that's been here for a while. When you have a program like Narcotics Anonymous on your side, whatever happens, you always get a new start. And God had exposed something to me through her death. That no matter how I feel about things, having a spiritual awakening, you feel certain things a lot, you know? And then you can start appreciating a certain things that the person gave you. And you start feeling like you're more protected from yourself because the person done joined the army to watch over you. So now she's watching over me with my daddy and my brother. I really believe that in my heart. So what happens is, at first, my first initial, I wanted to go buy something. Very expensive, and I wanted to go buy something, and I wanted to go buy something very expensive because I didn't want to feel what I wanted to feel. But thank God I'm, you know, I don't have a lot of money to do that, so that kind of went away. You know, I'm telling you, I always praise the people in the rooms as they come and share their wealth about their wealth, and they say they're giving people hope, but I already know some things God give me I ain't supposed to talk about. Because if I was a broke addict, that means I failed my recovery. Because I've been broke a long time. So when God give me something, I know how I feel. And appreciate it. So anyway, I was... And William Vito gave me that long time ago. A couple of weeks ago, he said, I was complaining small. You ain't got no small one no more. Remember he told me that, Will? And so I was looking back on my story. Sometimes you got to tell yourself your story. I don't have the behaviors I used to have when I want to get outside of myself. Strange enough it is, if you ever sit still with the person that you're with, it gets better. It might sound crazy, but you'll be with her long enough, it start feeling like the first time again. So I don't want to go outside and mess it up because I've had that story before. And I don't want to be in here hurting anymore. I feel for my friends that's hurting, but I know today is about my next choice. Or what I do with my life. And I don't want to do that anymore. I can easily sit up here and talk about the dope shooting days, but there were some days after being clean and being up here, my life was not the way it is today. I didn't feel healthy enough to share with people. It was always these three people I was dealing with. The Thomas P. that you wanted to see. And of course there was a Thomas P. that I wanted to be. Somewhere inside my soul, there was a Thomas P. that God wanted me to be. And I always denied that person to show up on the scene because he was too soft for me. And I wanted an immediate payoff. I was glamorized by the things that people had. And when I had my turn to own them things, they had no value to me because it didn't stop the suffering. I want to share it with you today. My sponsees get together with me, and Jimmy James just prayed with me. He didn't share the serenity prayer. He had to been developed enough in his spirituality he could go in depth in prayer and be specific about what he was asking God to do. You're talking about Jimmy Jam, the real Jimmy Jam. Jimmy Jam, in the beginning, he was like me. He'd knock his own shadow down. Today he's praying with me to God. Ain't that something that's part of the transformation? Ain't never got to go back to that lifestyle of shooting dope and because I don't want to accept my current condition and my current reality. People say people use because they change their mind. I've been here for a while. I never experienced that people change their mind. They minimizing and glorifying about how they relapse. People use because they was too much a fucking coward to deal with their feelings. Same shit happened to us. We stuck a knife in the ground and decided to ride it out. No matter what. What is in a meeting? In a meeting is a place where we're supposed to be conducive enough to get in touch with our feelings, no matter how it looks and how it sounds. I better stop my diction here. I'm sorry for cussing, boo-boo, but your uncle is trying to get in touch. I don't ever want to be the same dude I was yesterday. I'm working on the change even today. I want to become not just you proud of me, but be me proud of me. I don't want no reason why God won't deny me when I get to the place to be with Kenya. I don't want to be denied that role. I don't want to be with some of y'all where he's knocking on the door, he won't let you in. I can hear him laughing now. Your fourth step wasn't nothing. You lied then and you're lying now. And you're still afraid to sleep by yourself. That was my story. So today I'm in Narcotics Anonymous with you. I did this because I love you. I'm just doing it because I love you. Because in the fellowship, my whole reason for change from the sixth step is because people starting to love me enough and I love them. I didn't want to mess up the love. I never wanted, and initially I didn't do this for myself. Even I did it, I could clean myself. I didn't do this for myself. My son Corey, who can't stop crying, he's the giant in my life. He's been my courage. This young guy had courage to make me do things even in day I couldn't do. He can't stop crying, and I got scared because my courage gone. So I turned to the only courage that this can't move, and that's to God. I did it because of you. And because of you, I know that I'll get strong inside. And because of you, I know I can stay clean, because you can't stay clean by yourself. So I got my sponsor here. You know, it's strange. I've been to two people's messages, and then neither one of them talked about their God or their sponsor. It's a terrible thing to be in here. Terrible thing to be hurting, and there's no blueprint or map to get out of the hurt. And I don't ever want to be bitter again. Run around bitter because I can't stop the pain inside. I gave honor to my wife because I tell you, it's tough trying to be in the same house with me when God is whipping me. I'm talking to the people with time. Maybe Lenny know he ain't got no time. He know how it is feel when God whip you. You can't sit down because they whip you. You can't even talk good stuff because they whipping you. Every time you try to turn one way, he turn you back to face the thing that you're trying to turn from. He's whooping you. Some of y'all in these meetings yelling and screaming and shaming. You ain't because you shame, because he's whooping you. You ain't got to tell him, I'm going to whip you, and I'm going to whip you until you tell the damn truth. I want to be, God tell me he want to be a messenger. And Jim? He's been my friend. Never been easy to be a messenger. At the very time when your life is chaotic and you're embarrassed about your next decision, somebody asks you to share. And the very meeting you think with your ego was your worst meeting was your best meeting, because not only you got help, but somebody else got help. Ain't nothing pretty in here when it's time to change. Suffering is necessary. Suffering is necessary. See, I got my security lieutenant Wayne on the side. You got me? Make sure you shoot straight. Last time you shot the wrong nigga. I just wanted to say that, thanks, Wade. It's fun to get out from the thought for a minute just to get back. Let it cool off some. So when I was in the street, I often always used to use drugs because I couldn't stand my current reality. Couldn't understand why my mother abused me when I was a kid. Couldn't understand why Michelle Coy's mother didn't want to be with me. And for years after she broke up, I used to still sing the same song. It's a Baltimore song. D.C. might not understand. But people who are in here, if you're in Baltimore, raise your hand before I sing this goddamn song. All right. You understand. Well, I know Hansy understands. Hansy, when he was a newcomer, he was singing the song too. And the song was Call Her My Love, You Can Always Stay In. This was a song that was written in the 70s. And this was the 90s, and I was still singing the song. If you stuck in 10 years ago, you definitely need a goddamn drug. Some of y'all still stuck in yesterday. You even looking like the old gangsters. No, I want to say this because it's necessary. My wife and I was in the market. We're a recovering addict. And goddamn it, I'm proud of being Narcotics Anonymous. And you should be proud that I'm in Narcotics Anonymous, because I'm proud of you in Narcotics Anonymous. But when in the hell are we going to start acting like we're in a spiritual program? From day one, I was given a responsibility. You're going to be in NA is about change. They forced us to change. Dedicate. You had to change. We wouldn't have could accept you to be in this place trying to live dirty and be clean. They forced me to change. How in the hell is you going to get that old voice in your head to come out? You know that voice that, as you have, for 2 years, had a voice that kept saying, you ain't shit, ain't never going to be shit. And I'm going to tell you something, you're just wasting a lot of good, high time, because when it's all this shit said and done, you're going back to the same shit that you was. And I heard it over and over again. But the yelling, they yelled in my ear. I'm sorry to say it, but I'm trying to. They yelled in my ear. You are a lot better than what you think you are. Let me talk to my niece, and I'm going to close it. Let me talk to my niece. Let me tell you something, baby. Can you see something that has a simple solution, but the people that in it can't see it? No, let me. I'm going to leave you alone because it's so simple for you to talk to. Sometimes the NA stuff get in our memories and we get so complicated with NA language, we don't see how simple our solution is. Brian says, it's a very simple solution. But we lack the courage to do anything about it. I was telling a guy, we have this wonderful men's rap in Baltimore, that if you have courage, you can come. But don't get upset when they tell you to shut the hell up. And I was sharing with the guy, my wife taught me this. You want to learn about how to treat a man, you want to learn how to treat a woman, stop asking the dude, ask the woman. My wife said that there's nothing you can do and get away with it. Women know when their man is going outside. They do. It's a certain kind of chemistry, she said, comes over them. And she said, you can smell it. Raise your hand, Wyatt. I want y'all to get with it after the meeting, all you women that don't have no fucking courage. Raise your hand. She said, the only reason why it takes them a while to confront you about your mess, because they know if they confront you about your mess, you got to address the mess. And what they're waiting for is God to give them the courage to confront the mess. But you have always been known to get outside your mind. And it helped me out because I thought I was getting honest. Wasn't getting honest. She already knew. I'm just telling you that because maybe I can stop y'all from being in the same, going through the same pain I'm going through. Don't worry, it might look like it's good, but I'm going to tell you something. In a few minutes, it's going to be the same shit you always had when you was by yourself. So I've been able to change. And every now and then I see something that looked real nice. You know, I tell myself, I got one of them at home. I got one of them at home. So I want to say something to my friends As a result of 12 steps, I can say that because I have the courage to say that. It's been a ride being my friend. You know, you've been there. Even this week, you were sitting right there with me, Jim, even through the funeral. It's been a good ride being my friend. It's good, Hanita. And I'm trying to say that I'm making my attempts to make my amends to people. But when you're making amends to people, be direct about the amends. Don't try to minimize the amends, because whatever broke it up, if it's materialistic, it's not the materialistic thing that you can get back to make the amends. It takes an effort for you to come sit down and discuss the behavior that violated the friendship. If you never get in touch with nothing else, if I've ever harmed you, now I want to make amends, I can't buy you something and then we cool. I got to sit down and discuss what I did and why I did and how I'm going to make it up to you. And how I'm going to make it up to you, I'm just not going to be a better friend than you. I'm going to be a better friend to everybody I get in touch with that I claim to be their friend. Everybody ain't my friend. I want to clear that up. I got confused. I thought you were supposed to love everybody. And when people didn't love me, I was upset and disappointed. This fellowship ain't got nothing. They try to make you be a friend of yourself. But after a while, you have to make choices, because people don't understand some things. And sometimes sharing your dream with somebody don't understand can make you wake up too soon to fulfill it. Only because there's an untouched part in the fourth step that drives us into a part where we want to compete instead of support. I thought I'd share that, Brian. It's a piece in the fourth step. We all talk about the fourth step, but have you really done a fourth step enough for you to change the behavior that was lurking around even before the drug? Dope didn't make me have sexual contact with multiple women. And I was using drugs, then the woman wanted to be with me. Doping had nothing to do with that. Being clean and trying to get outside of myself with the only drug I knew that would take me to another level, even if it's only for a little while, did that to me. So I'm a proud member of Narcotics Anonymous today. And I'm grateful for your friendship and your push. And I want to share this before I go. I used to have dreams of going places and doing things with people loving to see me and coming. And, you know, we had those dreams. We was going handsy down Lexington Market over in the park, had these dreams. And I remember my sponsor who passed as part of the stuff, my first sponsor passed. And I was dealing with some guilt with that, because I couldn't figure out why we stopped being friends. And because there's so many other bodies in the past, they all had one person in common, and it was me. So I was at the grave, at the funeral, I felt a little guilt that Wayne was there with me, and I felt that. And it took a while. We were at the men's rep before we got in touch with that. But Johnny used to say, if he could ever control this and sell this, he could make a lot of money. But then he would use. Because he just pushed God out of the picture. And everything that he possessed would only be there but just for a little while. You know? So I would say this, and my niece's a little nervous. I ain't gonna do nothing stupid. I'm in the midst of all these friends, they gonna let me do nothing crazy to myself. And then crying is the best humility, that state of humility I can be in, because it allowed me to get closer to him and let him know that I'm not afraid of who I'm in. I'm gonna get in touch with what I need to get in touch with. But it's a strange thing about this program. If you stay in between the opening and closing prayer. Listen to me, niece. I'm talking to my niece. Y'all need to start telling your family members, particularly if they're young, the truth, because they're the strength and courage that we never had. Stop teaching them to be cowards like we was. But I'm going to talk to your niece. If you stay in between the opening and closing prayer and get in touch, something good is going to happen, because he takes good care of us. He does. All of us. Even us. People like you. So he goes, something going to happen for us. We just need to be patient and ride it out. So I used to sing Calling My Love when I was confused and all messed up. I got a new song I sing now. That's a new song. I'm going to sing this song. It's part of the payment for having me up here. I'm going to sing this goddamn song. Where and all that. And sometimes you have people, Ramon, that in your life that will tell you and see it in you before you see it. My baby seen this in me. before I seen it. My wife seen it in me before I seen it. My son Corey, when I was in rehab, I told him, he was a little kid, I ain't had nothing. I said, when I get out of here, you're going to have half of what I own. And he said, for real? And then he still asked me about his half, you know? But anyway, you people who love you, God sends sometimes an angel. He sends us an angel sometimes that can see us before the transformation. Where Brian at, Brian? I'm just trying to stay. I ain't going to stay here long. Sometimes, even in birth, he dispatches angels. They come in our lives and tell us that we go this and tell us we going to be this. And we can't see it so much. I'm talking to the newcomer now. So you're going to have this and that. You got to ride with me on this one now. You're going to be this and you're going to be that, even if you don't feel it right away. And the song came to me. I was going to sing it, but I didn't want to mess the service up because he might not understand my baritone. He saw the best in me. I'm just going to leave here and may the angels of Kenya smile upon me and be satisfied with my attempt this day. When everyone else around me could only see the worst of me. Wait a minute. He say, he's mine and I'm his. Don't matter what I did. And I want to thank all of y'all for just riding it out with me. You know, sis, as things are coming down the road, one day, all this stuff, you, me, all of us going to sit on the porch, ain't we? We're going to sit on this porch and we're going to smile at this day. And we're going to see Ken. We're going to talk about how it was and how it is and how good he is. And guess what? One day we all going to be singing the same song. How sweet it is on the other side. Huh? Yeah, in between then, they say we only got to be uncomfortable just for a little while. Because the change is about to come. So, what did he say? In the 11th step, well, Sherman, I want you to write this down, Sherman. In the 11th step, make sure y'all know I ain't left what I'm saying. And what the promise, it's a promise I'm making to my niece that's written in our textbook. And in the 11th step, it's a promise. And God never failed on his promise. He said that he will not force his goodness on us. He would only give it if we ask. At some point, it calls for another struggle and another surrender. That's what it says. It demands another kind of struggle and a deeper kind of surrender. And only then we ask and he'll give it to us. And that's 11 step cakes. He won't force us if we act until we ask. So I am standing on the sideline. And I pray that my self-centeredness don't take me away. My prayer is that you be the next one in line for the miracle. Not me. I pray that you be the next one in line for the miracle, because I still need to see it happen for you for me to believe that it happened for me. So without any reservation, thank you, Narcotics Anonymous, for doing all the things for me. Thank you. I'll keep coming back.